Hello and welcome to the Bloomington Pantograph on Monday, February 4th. Sorry about that. This is Susan Ober. We will begin this part of our reading with normal to abate tax for shops. The owners of a normal shopping center will get back less in taxes this year under an economic development agreement. M&J Wilkow, the Chicago real estate firm which owns the shops at College Hills, will receive a $173,000 property tax abatement, down from $210,000 in 2018 and $213,000 in 2017. Under an arrangement which first diverts sales tax revenue to repay bonds which help build the development, the Normal City Council will consider that abatement today. Quote, we abate as much of it as we can, which is a function of how much has been collected in sales tax, said Normal Finance Director Andrew Hune. He noted losing Gordman's clothing store may have impacted sales tax receipts. Torrid, a woman's clothing store, and Comcast joined the shops at College Hills last year. Hobby Lobby moved into the former Gordman's, and Marshall's and Old Navy could be coming to the former Hobby Lobby space, according to marketing materials released by M&J Wilkow. The town took out those bonds in 2004 to pay for the transition from the enclosed College Hills Mall to the outdoor shops at College Hills. That $5.5 million bond issue paid for demolition of the mall, installing parking lots, engineering, and other costs. It is set to be repaid in late 2024. Hune said he is not aware of any arrangement similar to the shop's deal. It's called a special service area in the town. Officials have sometimes promised sales tax rebates for economic development projects, including Portillo's, the Radisson Hotel, and two connected shopping centers on Veterans Parkway, and town property tax abatements, including one given to Rivian. The town also has several tax increment financing districts, which redirect property tax revenue generated by improvements from taxing bodies to fund economic development, including for Uptown and Main Street. Alto Real Estate Funds, a New York-based real estate investment firm, and M&J Wilkow acquired that 246,245 square foot shopping center in 2017. The Normal City Council meets at 7 p.m. tonight on the fourth floor at Uptown Station. In other business, the council will consider selling two garbage trucks to the city of Kewaunee for $260,000. That is part of a plan to replace four trucks for $1.27 million approved last May. Quote, typically the town will take vehicles of this type to a public auction, but on occasion it has authorized the purchase of town vehicles by another government agency. According to a memo from Public Works Director Wayne Aldridge, code allows the town council to authorize the sale of property to a specific buyer if the property has a fair cash market value of more than 25% of the original purchase price. The town bought those trucks in 2012 for $287,000 each. End of quote, end of article. Flick fact. Question. Springfield and Lincoln are two of the most popular names for cities in America. Bloomington isn't too far behind. How many Bloomingtons are there in the U.S.? And which other one is closest to Bloomington, Illinois? Answer. There are 10 Bloomingtons in America, as well as a Bloomington Springs in Tennessee. Two Blooming Groves, the original name of our fair city. The closest other Bloomington, of course, is the one in Indiana, although Bloomington, Wisconsin, southwest of Madison, isn't that far away either. End of article. Police, man shot in Bloomington. Police say one man was shot early Sunday morning in Bloomington. Police were called to the 800 block of North Roosevelt Road at 4:14 a.m. Sunday for a report of shots fired. When officers arrived, they found a man with gunshot wounds and non-life-threatening injuries. He was transported to a local hospital. Police say there are no suspects and further details were not released. Police are also investigating a shots fired report from last week, but they have not announced any connection. If you have information regarding this incident, you are asked to contact Detective Jared Roth. You may phone 309-434-2379. 434-2379 or email jroth@cityblm.org. Or you can call the police department's main line at 309-820-8888. That's the detective section, 309-820-8888. If you want to remain anonymous, you can call McLean County Crime Stoppers. That number is 309-828-1111, 828-1111. If your call leads to the arrest and indictment of suspects, you may be eligible for a reward of up to $1,000. End of article. Ward 2 debate set February 2nd. Set for February 10th, and the 10th is on Sunday, between candidates Georgine Chisel and Donna Bolin, who are running to represent Ward 2 on the Bloomington City Council. That election will be held on April 2nd. The debate begins at 6 p.m. on February 10th at Luther Oaks, 610 Lutz Road in Bloomington. It will be moderated by Judy Valente of the League of Women Voters for McLean County. The incumbent, David Sage, is not seeking re-election. Public hearing set for spending plan, Normal. Normal will take comments and host a public hearing on changes to its community development block grant spending plan. A public hearing will be held at 5 p.m. on February 21st, and that is a Thursday, in the first floor cafe of Normal Public Library, 206 West College Avenue. Public comments may be submitted in writing at Uptown Station. Put it to the attention of Taylor Long, CDBG, address 11 Uptown Circle, Normal. Or you can email Long at tlong@normal.org. Comments must be received in writing no later than February 28th. Copies of the proposed amendment are available in the town's clerk office on the second floor of Uptown Station at the Normal Public Library. End of articles. MCLP to help board diversity. Nonprofit organizations seeking to diversify their boards and base of volunteers will have an opportunity at 5 p.m. on February 21st, a Thursday, at YWCA McLean County. That is located at 1201 North Hershey Road in Bloomington. Multicultural Leadership Program is sponsoring a networking event in which nonprofit organizations can meet participants in this year's MCLP class. Nonprofits must register in advance. End of article. Kiwanis Pancake Days set for February 23rd and 24th, Saturday and Sunday. Bloomington Kiwanis Pancake Days, an annual tradition since 1951, will be 7 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. February 23rd and 24th at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts Buildings in the lower level ballroom. Buttermilk pancakes are prepared by Kiwanis members and community organizations on specially designed and crafted griddles and served with sausage and coffee, milk, or orange juice. Tickets for adults are $7. Children who are 5 to 12 years, $3. Children under 5 are free. Advance tickets are $6 for adults and available from any Bloomington Kiwanis member by posting on Bloomington Kiwanis Facebook page, or you can call the Kiwanis District Office. That number is 309-585-2216. 585-2216. In addition to pancakes, the club hosts a book fair, selling books for all ages through the Scholastic Books Organization. Book fair hours are 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. both days. Proceeds from the breakfast and the book fair go toward the club's signature project of sending local children to Camp Limberlost and other programs which benefit local children. Each summer since 1930, Bloomington Kiwanis has sent approximately 100 8 to 10-year-olds to Camp Limberlost at East Bay Camp in Lake Bloomington. The local club is part of Kiwanis International, a service organization whose mission is to change the world one community and one child at a time. End of article. Barnes Dental is joined by Jordan. Barnes Dental Association is pleased to welcome Dr. Andrew Jordan to the team. Dr. Jordan is a Central Illinois native and has been practicing dentistry for over 16 years. He is accepting new patients. You may call 309-454-7337. 454-7337. End of article. VA News. The VA will conduct enrollment sessions for veterans healthcare in the new catchment area for the Bloomington Community-Based Outpatient Clinic. The area includes parts or all of Livingston, Ford, DeWitt, Tazewell, McLean, Woodford, and Logan counties. Contact your McLean County Veterans Assistance Commission. That number is 309-888-5140, 888-5140, or your Veterans Assistance Commission office in Livingston, Woodford, Logan, and Tazewell counties to obtain the form that is a 1010EZ enrollment application, 1010EZ. End of article. Scholarships. Illinois State. Four Pantograph area students are among 10 graduate and undergraduate students who are being awarded a $500 scholarship from the University Club at ISU. They are Daniel Burr of Normal, graduate student in chemistry, Hital Dirawani, Bloomington, a graduate student in business administration, Morgan Grunlow, Lexington, undergraduate student in chemistry, and Ben King of Normal, graduate student in Applied Economics. End of article. Rifle Association, Bloomington. Pantograph area residents were among winners in the 2019 Illinois State Rifle Association Indoor Championship at Central Illinois Precision Shooting in Bloomington. Air Rifle, 3-position, Riley Passmore of McLean, 1st, Adriana Schroeder Gilman, 2nd. International Air Match, Martina Gratz, Sibley, 1st, Riley Passmore, 2nd, Morgan Dross, Farmer City, 3rd. Small Bore Rifle, 3-position, Martina Gratz, 1st, Riley Passmore, 2nd. Prone Small Bore Rifle, Riley Passmore, 1st, Ben Holliger of Carlock, 3rd. End of article. Importance of CPR AED training, stress. Heart attack survivor, taking action can save someone's life. Normal. David Stokes woke up on December 13th strapped to a hospital bed with no memory of the last 13 hours. His heart had stopped in the middle of a pickup basketball game that night. It happened so quickly, said 39-year-old Stokes of Bloomington. That is the thing which blows my mind. Is you're playing basketball, you've got 9 people around you that could help, and you don't even have enough time to say help, heart, or 911. Stokes fell headfirst without warning. Another player called 911, but Stokes was face down for 3 minutes before others realized he was not breathing and flipped him over. A nurse anesthetist, who was playing soccer at the same gym, heard that commotion and came over to help. Within 2 minutes, he started aggressive CPR when he realized Stokes had no pulse. An automated external defibrillator, AED, was 50 feet away, but Stokes was on the ground for 8 minutes before emergency responders arrived to shock his lifeless body. Quote, if you are in defib for 8 minutes, there's likely a 5% chance you're going to live, he said Saturday before stepping into a CPR AED class. To kick off American Heart Month, the Illinois Heart and Lung Foundation held its annual free CPR AED training event at University High School in Normal. The foundation has donated several AEDs to businesses and organizations throughout Bloomington. The next step is to make sure people know how to use them in the event of a cardiac emergency, said Sarah Gleish, Development and Events Manager of the foundation. It is great to have them around, but if no one is willing to intervene during these incidents, then they are kind of irrelevant, end quote. That training included a lecture and skills session with an AED simulator and participants who were able to practice adult, child, and infant CPR. It is all about, quote, taking action and being prepared because you can make a difference in somebody's life, Stokes said. Stokes also said several of his family members have gone to see their doctors since his heart attack. His girlfriend and some friends joined him at the training event. "You can save someone's life," said Jan Berlin, Training Center Coordinator for Advocate Broman Medical Center. "They are excited to learn. It is something new. They realize how important it really is to be trained." Berlin said 80% of the time, a sudden cardiac arrest is going to happen with a loved one nearby. In December, Stokes experienced a left anterior descending artery stenosis, nicknamed the Widowmaker. He said if he had been alone when he collapsed, he would not be alive. "If I didn't say, let's play another basketball game, I could have been driving home and had this just like that and killed myself. Killed someone else," Stokes said. "It is a blessing." End quote. Stokes had a really rough night in the hospital. He was not responsive to his girlfriend or doctors, who weren't yet sure if his brain function had been affected during that attack. His limbs had to be strapped down because he kept trying to fight against the tube in his throat. Stokes left the hospital 4 days later with a new stent in place. He is now recovering and taking medication to stay healthy. He says he's choosing to use this experience in a positive way, hoping to maybe save a life or maybe just keep his three children from getting too rambunctious. "Now I tell my kids, dads can't have that much stress, so you guys need to chill out," Stokes said. End of article. Divorces. The following divorces were recently finalized in McLean County Circuit Court. Vance, Latanya and Tyrese Vance. Fata, Andrea and Craig Fata. Harris, Robert and J. Leon Flat Harris. Berryhill, Angela and J. Berryhill. Gaines, Richard and Jenna Abbott Gaines. Cunningham, Barbara and Christopher Cunningham. McDougall, Elena and Joseph McDougall. Nelson, Corey and Teresa Nelson. McAllister, Pamela and Thomas Moore. McAllister. Powell, Teresa and Kenneth Powell. McCall and Nile. John and Sally McCall and Nile. Simmons, Brian and Ashley Detar Simmons. End of article. Area calendar, registration, Tinker Lab, 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. on February 21st at the Bloomington Library Story Room. It is for grades 3 to 5. Space is limited. Registration is required. You may call 309-828-6094. 828-6094. End of article. Tyus hits the ground running, Bloomington's new deputy city manager to start this Thursday. Billy Tyus will work as Decatur interim city manager right through his last day on Wednesday. The next day, he will start working for his former boss, Tim Gleason, as Bloomington's deputy city manager, the number two on the city manager's administrative team. It is a work ethic which Tyus, 47, learned from his parents while growing up on Decatur's south side. His father, who died in 2004, worked for 38 years in the Herald and Review newspaper's press room in Decatur. Quote, "My mom, Shirley, has been at Caterpillar in Decatur for almost 50 years," said Tyus. "She is still working." And while Tyus is hardworking, he attributes many of his successes, including rising to the top of Decatur city government over 18 years, to his hometown. "Decatur has had a huge impact on whom I have been able to become," said Tyus. "We didn't have a lot, meaning we were a working class family. But frankly, as a kid, I didn't know that. Part of my being able to have the opportunities that I have, both in city and government and in life, is because of growing up around people who were encouraging to me." But his wife, Mia, who also grew up in Decatur, started about 2 years ago thinking about moving because they wanted a new experience for themselves and their twin son and daughter, who turned 9 today. That was in part behind Tyus's decision in October to not apply for the Decatur City Manager job on a permanent basis. "Obviously, managing your hometown could be exciting and great, but at the time, it wasn't what I felt was best for my family," said Tyus. "We had talked for some time about moving. Having been here our entire lives, we were looking for new experience, and that had nothing to do with the Decatur community. I think there is something to be said about showing your children something different." In Bloomington, Tyus will be filling a position Gleason created after Steve Rasmussen resigned in October from the assistant city manager post. Rasmussen was a finalist for the city manager post that went to Gleason. There will be a public reception from 5 until 6 p.m. on February 11th, which is next Monday, in the city council chambers to meet Tyus. One of the things that was very appealing about this position was having an opportunity to work with Tim Gleason again, said Tyus. I feel like he is a true leader who cares about his employees, who wants us to grow and gives us tools to go out and do the work we need to do. He is a teacher. Having worked with Billy, he is someone I know I can trust completely, on top of being fully qualified to be a city manager in any comparably sized community anywhere in the U.S., said Gleason. End quotes. Gleason is equally excited to have Tyus back on his team. Tyus was chosen after a nationwide search, which included 30 applicants. Tyus will be paid $152,500 annually. End of article. Marriage licenses, McLean County. Randall James Tamara and Lindsay Deanne Smith, both of Bloomington. David Todd Lanzotti and Lee Ann Marie Hammond, both of Normal. Justin Michael Kellenberger of Tawanda and Lori Ann Steidinger of Bloomington. Jason Joshua Wilson and Shannon Elizabeth Null, both of Bloomington. End of article. Normal Targets parking deck. After sealing the deal on a new building east of Uptown Circle, Normal officials are turning their focus to a long vacant part of the district. A first floor space in the College Avenue parking deck is their next target for improvement, as shown by an official tenant request. The deck at the corner of College and Constitution Boulevard was completed in 2008, with an unfinished 12,000 square foot area on the east side. Since then, that area has been used primarily for construction materials, including while the one uptown on the Circle building was in progress. Quote, the intent was always to develop that space, but we were working on other things, said Normal Economic Development Director Sally Heffernan. When we extended the Uptown Tax Increment Financing District, this was one of the projects we had in mind, and we want to move on it quickly if possible, end quote. Developers have until February 28th to share their ideas with the town, which will consider a project to pursue. Heffernan said officials are looking for uses which complement rather than compete with what is in Uptown now, possibly including restaurant, retail, or nonprofit uses, but not residential. Quote, this could be a single user. You could have a developer come in and say this could be four different users, said Heffernan. If things move as quickly as possible, we could have someone in by the end of the year. End quote. Heffernan is estimating it may cost $1.5 million to $2 million to build out that space, funded by the developer, which would then lease the space until the town has paid off its debt on the deck and is legally able to sell part of it. The developer could receive incentives through the Local Enterprise Zone and the Uptown TIF, which redirects property tax revenue generated by improvements from taxing bodies to fund economic development. Last summer, the state legislature extended the end of the TIF from 2026 to 2039. Heffernan said the new building, called Trail East, could be a boon for whatever is built in the parking deck space. Officials anticipate more than 200 office workers will use Trail East, including from the Farnsworth Group, after it's completed, possibly in the summer of 2020. She said the town is not concerned about introducing more retail space into Uptown despite some current vacancies. Quote, not many vacant spaces in Uptown are actually leasable, she said, noting plans are underway for one Uptown, the former Babbitt's Bookstore, and the former Bill's Key and Lock. Heffernan said residents can expect more news about Uptown development in the near future, including a study of available parking. I think you are going to see a lot of announcements in the next couple of months, several of them for the new building at Trail East, she said. It is going to be a good year for Uptown Normal. End quote. End of article. $50,000 of bond returned to Zimmerman, Bloomington. Kirk Zimmerman's bond on murder charges was reduced last Friday, giving him $50,000 to help cover legal expenses. Judge Scott Drazewski granted a defense request to return $50,000 of the $200,000 bond posted to secure Zimmerman's release in November 2015. The Bloomington man, now 60, is charged with killing Pam Zimmerman, his former wife, in November of 2014. Defense lawyer John Rogers argued Zimmerman has appeared at all hearings during the 3+ years he's been on home confinement, tethered to an electronic monitoring device. The bond conditions require Zimmerman to be home unless he has an appointment with a doctor or his legal team. That has kept Zimmerman from securing a job, said Rogers, adding the state's case against his client has generated an unprecedented volume of potential evidence and material which must be reviewed. The state's effort has been at taxpayers' expense, he said, referring to the millions of dollars the Bloomington Police Department and state has used to assemble a largely circumstantial case. The defense needs the money to retain experts to challenge opinions from state experts, said Rogers. It is an expert-laden case, said Rogers. The defense disclosed in recent court filings that Miles Kitchen, an expert in automotive electronic systems, is a potential witness. A second expert provided opinions on cell tower data on Zimmerman's behalf. Assistant State's Attorney Mary Cole opposed the defense request, saying Zimmerman's initial bond was set at $5 million, then reduced to $2 million after his arrest in July 2015. The 45 years to life sentence Zimmerman is facing, if convicted of murder, makes him a potential flight risk, said Cole. As an alternative to the bond reduction, Zimmerman could surrender on the charges, a move which would release his bond money but force him to return to jail ahead of his April 1st trial, said Cole. The judge also could order Zimmerman's legal fees be paid from bond money held by the circuit clerk, Cole suggested. In his ruling, Drazewski noted Zimmerman has posted a substantial amount of cash, and with the exception of one unauthorized trip through a drive-through restaurant, he has complied with what the judge termed fairly onerous bond conditions. Drazewski pointed to another pending McLean County murder case in which the defendant, who also has a private lawyer, was given financial assistance from the county for legal costs. A private investigator funded by the county public defender's office was authorized to assist Matt Isbell's legal team after his lawyer told a judge he had run out of money. Drazewski also set a February 20th hearing on several pretrial motions. At that hearing, Rogers plans to ask the judge to reconsider a December ruling which FBI Special Agent Greg Cattee be allowed to testify on cell phone tower data, which allegedly put Zimmerman's car near the 2100 block of East Washington Street on November 3, 2014. The 53-year-old victim was found the following morning by an employee of her financial services firm on East Washington Street. The state's theory of the murder centers around a contentious 2012 divorce between the couple after 20 years of marriage. Pam Zimmerman made no secret of an ongoing dispute she had with her former husband over money. At this time, we will take a short break.